Recording.
Now we'll call this meeting to order at 7:30. First, and I am going to appoint Kawan Gordon for Steve Clark. And I'm going to appoint Tom Crockett for Jim Cropley. And Diane D'Annunzio for Jeremy Flick. Next item of business is the approval of minutes. And I had one change in two places. Immediately above five old businesses, a sentence that says T. Manning reported Andrew Gonigan is in the audience. That can be crossed off. And there, and then up above where it says others present in person, you can put Andrew Ladiga, Ladyga.
I also have a correction that needs to be made.
Okay.
Fortunately, I don't have the minutes in front of me, but I did look at the minutes in advance. And it was towards the end, right before we adjourned last month's meeting, where I was actually to one to make the question to Mike regarding the ongoing work that needs to happen for the site improvement bond when we reduced it for the Dollar General.
Okay.
Would it help you, Kwan, if I put the minutes up on the screen?
If you would like, I don't know if it's necessary. I do recall, I don't, you know, as long as everybody else is able to see it.
Right here?
Yeah. It's the third line from the bottom where it says J. Cropley, and that should be K. Gordon.
Oh, okay. Correct.
And then asked about the improvement work. And I don't think it's spring. I think it's site improvement bond.
Yep, site improvement bond.
Are there any other changes? Does someone have a motion?
Motion to accept the minutes as amended.
As amended. Tom Crockett, second?
I'll second.
Tom Robbins. Got to get in faster.
That Tom.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
And Arlene raises her hand. Okay.
Well, that's seven?
Yes, that's seven. Residents Forum. I don't see anyone here or online or in the waiting room. Staff reports.
I'll begin. I attended the National Planning Conference for a week in Minnesota this year, and a lot of talk about housing and how to provide different types of housing, different costs of housing. It was very housing centric. Also, how to find workers as opposed to places of work due to the new hybrid work environment. So, for example, employers are calling in states and saying, you know, can we find 100 workers in the state of Connecticut that can work remotely, but we like the workforce in Connecticut. So they're doing that as opposed to calling and say, we'd like to find an office building, you know, for 100 workers. So there's been some different paths to which employers are starting to look. Also, besides working on the stuff we're going to talk about tonight, I did go this morning to meet a fireside chat with the DECD commissioner, who's the new commissioner, and he was discussing economics in Connecticut. And I did, just for the little guy, ask that he does not forget the rural towns, although, you know, we don't have the big train centers and the transit oriented development. We do provide other things that people are looking for in diversification of housing. And I said, you know, just in Bolton alone, we have two global headquarters of companies. One is Munson's and one is Simoni's. And so we do provide those kind of opportunities for business as well. So he said, yes, that the rural communities were actually one of the things on his radar. We'll see how that goes. So that's my staff report.
Is this the person we need to talk about getting some of the units released for housing and for the sewer system?
No, probably he is not.
Okay. And Mike?
Yeah, hi. I'm having a little internet problem, so I'm going to keep my camera off, but I don't think my face is the important part anyways. As Patrice mentioned, we've been working on the use table. Had some additional progress, I guess, and perhaps some new complaints come in, which we're trying to work through, some of which may require us to team up with the wetlands folks. So while the team effort is good, no one ever wants to have more complaints, regardless if we're sharing the responsibility. As Kwan mentioned, and we talked about last month, now we're at the point now with the growing season that I think we can get something on the books for Dollar General. And there's a couple of other sites that I think we need to check in on. Something else that I don't know that we've talked about, but obviously is pending, and I'm sure Patrice has been following, maybe she's mentioned, is just the legislative session. And so we're at the point now where we're in the final hours of everything that's going on. And it seems like there may be a bunch of stuff that actually doesn't happen. But one of the bills that I guess at least passed the Senate was a bill that would allow for would require towns to allow for the conversion of commercial buildings to residential multifamily as of right. So it literally said that there's not any real meat to that bill as far as under what terms, only if it's connected to sewer. Literally just would require that by administrative approval or as a right approval, you can convert a commercial building to multiple residential units. So that's not dead yet. There's a couple of other things that I saw had passed, and I think nothing super controversial. The work live ride bill that Desegregate CT has been pushing did move forward, but is really just an incentive or a carrot. It's not really a mandate and doesn't provide any stick, if you will. So those are, I guess, going to be interesting to watch as things come to a close. There's one other thing, but I can't think of it at the moment.
I think that bill about converting business to multifamily is more virtue signaling than anything, because the main problems in doing that don't come from zoning restrictions. They come from physical and building code restrictions. So,
right. Yeah, I would agree.
They do, except in our town, we don't allow residential in general business zone. So it may be something that does affect us at some point, depending on what, if there's any actual guidelines to what they're talking about as a commercial building.
I can, like in 30 seconds or less, I can give you a thumbnail of some of the other stuff that went forward. So the bill that was included most of this stuff is 5474, and of the amendments, it included changes to how towns calculate the 8-30G moratorium formula. It allows for the as-of-right conversion of nursing homes to multifamily, increases the allowable municipal blight penalties, requires that the state consider affordable housing as a potential use for surplus state land. It convenes a study of the municipal design review process. And there's a bunch of other little stuff in there, but like I said, nothing significantly controversial.
And I'm actually, my office is actually doing three or four projects in conversion of I-2 nursing homes to R-2 apartments. And it's the same case there. Even if zoning was completely free, all the problems are practical. And have to do with.
Hey, Mike, that last bill you just read off, does that also include, I know you mentioned state supported buildings. Does that also include state supported land for those buildings?
I don't know. I'd have to look at the specific language of the bill to see if it was buildings. The synopsis that I saw specifically said land. I will try to get that and follow up.
Okay.
Did anybody else have comments about staff reports? Is there any other under old business?
I have nothing.
Is there any other under new business?
Also nothing.
Okay, so we are on to ongoing discussion of the Bolton subdivision and zoning regulations, and we have a permitted spreadsheet of permitted uses. And I think it would be a good idea if the staff presented that.
Okay. You all have a copy in front of you. I can put it up on the board if you'd like me to, or if this works. I don't know, Arlene, would it help you if it was up on the screen?
She says yes.
And or Kwan? Okay, I will do that then. Give me just a second.
I actually do have it up on the second screen, but it'll be done. Be good.
Okay.
We gotta go over the initials.
And we will go over the abbreviations, yes.
Okay, so you want to start at the abbreviations? Is that where you want to start?
Yes.
Okay. They were at the very end of this. So an administrative zoning permit is simply a zoning permit. It's just what we happen to call it in town hall.
Now, I have a question about that.
Okay.
Let's say that you decided, I need a little site plan as part of this. Is that something you could require? Can you, as part of administration, ask for different things that you think are needed to accomplish the goals of the regulations?
Right. So Mike, correct me if I'm wrong, but when anybody applies for a zoning permit, it typically is accompanied by a site plan of some kind.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. Sometimes it's a A2, sometimes it depends on what we need, but you know, for a larger project, it would be an A2 survey with information.
Yeah. And I think we talked about this last time. I try to be as flexible as I can in not requiring something that is of a higher technical level than what would be necessary, so we don't require brand new A2 surveys for, you know, 10 by 10 sheds, that type of thing. But we make sure that they provide us with enough information so we can confirm compliance.
Thank you.
As of right is just what it says. Somebody can do that particular permitted use as of right on their property.
As long as they're meeting all the regulations.
Correct.
Okay.
Special use permit you're familiar with, site plan you're familiar with.
Now,
go ahead.
Is a special use permit that requires a public hearing? What about site plans?
Special use permit does, site plan does not. The commission can require a public hearing for site plan, but you are
as an option.
Right, but you have to do it within the time frame of the site plan regulations, not the special use permit regulations. So it's within 65 days. You have to open, close, and decide.
Okay.
Whereas with a special permit, you have 65 days to begin the hearing, 35 days to hold the hearing, and then 65 for a decision.
Okay.
We typically I'm just thinking back since my tenure here, we've never, that I know of, required a public hearing for just a site plan. It's always been the requirement of a special permit. Exempt is just so you know, the town has exempted itself from zoning regulations. So town-owned things are exempt, and that's why you see that there in the table.
Oh, okay. So as for zoning, they're exempt.
They're exempt from zoning.
But our other hat is planning. And sometimes we have to approve those things.
In the zoning regulations.
Right, but not in the zoning regulations. Right. Okay. Okay, and so now you can go from the top down.
All right, go back up here. So what we basically did is we took all of the different permitted uses, alphabetized them, and then there were parts of them that seemed to be redundant. So we sort of put them together in a group to see if there was a way that maybe we could streamline, you know, one line with the appropriate ability and how it gets into how you do an application for that particular use. So, I mean, we can start with the, I can get rid of you guys so I can see what I'm looking at here. Hang on a second. Is it all on one screen or do I need to make it smaller?
It needs to be smaller to see everything.
Needs to be a little. There you go.
Sorry. How's that?
Good.
Okay. So if we start ADUs subject to conditions, those are accessory dwelling units. They are allowed by site plan. Anything in black is current.
Okay.
Anything in red is a suggestion. So they are currently allowed in the RMUZ zone by site plan, and they are allowed by administrative zoning permit in the three residential zones. So that was all something you guys changed when we did the ADU regulation.
Yeah, I don't see any. I don't see the need to change that.
Animal housing. I'm not exactly sure what that means, but it is administrative zoning permit in the three residential zones.
Well, it looks like a barn or shed or a coop for whatever animals would be permitted.
In those three zones.
In those zones.
So here was the first one to look at it maybe combining, and that is art studios / galleries and then museums / art studios. So not really sure how the commission feels, whether they think that they could be art studios, galleries, and museums all lumped together. If you feel that museums are for looking and art studios and galleries may be for more retail, I don't know, but right now we allow art studios and galleries by special use permit in only the GMUIZ zone, and we allow museums and art studios, I don't know the difference in the type of art studio, but we allow those by special use permit in the GMUIZ zone and the RMUZ zone. So,
I think these could be combined. My understanding is of a museum is that it's just for display. Of a gallery, it's display for sale. I suppose a museum always has a gift shop. And then the art studio is you're actually producing the art.
Right, which could be classes. It could be something that they're selling. They could also have a display or a showing of, you know, the students' art, whatever. If the commission has no problem in combining them, that's fine. Then you would need to know, you know, what zones you want to allow them in and how.
I would say combine them also. Seems awful close.
And I think every place that you've called for AZ, I think AZ is appropriate.
Okay, so that would be an administrative zoning permit would we change the RMUZs? So you would basically say somebody come in for an administrative zoning permit with a site plan to the staff, and you would allow these in the general business, neighborhood business, RMUZ, the GMUIZ.
Yes. While we're on this line, one of the things that I'm thinking about adding is an HOB, home occupancy business, because these are things which people very frequently do in their homes, especially a studio.
We have a whole section for home occupations down here.
Okay.
And then there's, if you're looking at what's allowed under home occupation, you go to the home occupation portion of the regulations.
I'm wondering if we could do it all here. Have just one place to look.
Home occupation, though, I mean, business occupation, that could be very broad outside the scope, maybe, of what we're looking to combine with art studios and museums, though. I mean,
the reason I say that is I'm familiar with a number of different house museums and galleries that are in people's houses in Coventry and Farmington and Avon, things like that. And I think that if, you know, those things, you know, whenever somebody comes in for a home occupancy business, they have to describe what it is they're going to do and how much space it's going to take up and whether they're going to have how many customers and so on. And I think that if you just indicated that this was something that was acceptable as a home occupancy business, that you could do it all on one table.
Well, I think you need to, I guess, your home occupation regulations don't really allow for a lot of people coming to the home. And so that's the only thing I would be concerned with. You know, you don't allow for outside non-resident employees, you know, so much parking and all of that. So I don't, can we think about that?
Sure.
Yeah.
All right. So I've changed this to one line and put in what you basically said. If we go to the next one, which is bed and breakfast, you've got several different types. You've got a bed and breakfast up to 3 guest rooms. Those are allowed in the residential zone by site plan. And then you've got a bed and breakfast up to 6 rooms by special use permit in the neighborhood business zone only. And then you've got hotel or motel, subject to special regulation 3B5, and bed and breakfast up to 6 rooms. That's all. That's allowed by special permit in the general business zone only. And then you've got hotel, motel, and bed and breakfast allowed in the RMUZ by special use permit. So, and also in the GMUIZ, by special permit. So the question is, are they similar enough to let them all be regulated the same way? I could understand that maybe a bed and breakfast might be different a little bit from a large hotel or a motel, and where you want to allow those as well.
Yeah, I would have one line that says hotel, motel.
Okay.
And by special use permit in the general business, rural mixed use zone, and gateway mixed use industrial zone.
Special permit?
Yes.
In Gateway, and which other one? I'm sorry.
General business, like as it is now.
Oh, it's not now, though. Well, it is and it isn't. So we put it here?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. How about in the RMUZ for a hotel and motel?
Yes, I think those should be the same.
So those three.
GB, RMUZ, and GMUIZ should all be the same.
Okay. And then
I just get
breakfast
rid of it.
As a separate.
The idea, I think, is that a bed and breakfast is going to be in somebody's house. That's the idea. And so I think that it's appropriate that it be by site plan in the residential zones and by special use permit in the neighborhood business zone.
So do we want to, I don't know what the distinction of or the history of up to three versus up to six.
Is there a definition of a bed and breakfast?
Yes, bed and breakfast is a special use group that was invented by the state of Connecticut when people started trying to convert their old historic homes.
Yeah.
And eventually what happened was they were granting a series of modifications because they always have things that you would never allow, like these grand open stairways.
Yeah.
Which that's the feature of the house you want to maintain.
Yeah.
So what they did was they were writing these modifications the same way over and over and over. And they said, finally, we're just going to put that in the code. So that is that's something in the building code.
So you couldn't have, because it's supposed to be within like a house, you couldn't have seven, eight or more bedrooms. Yeah. That six is a
limit. Well, I think there's a limit of 16 persons, which would be, right, might be eight rooms.
So currently we don't allow more than three guest rooms in the R1, R2, and R3. And then we allow up to six rooms only in the NB. So do we need to make that distinction still?
I think just call it bed and breakfast, and it's the same definition as in the building code. And then you have one line, and it's SPSPSP in the residential and SUP in the neighborhood business. That's my recommendation.
All right, so you just want me to say bed and breakfast? You don't want me to give it any rooms?
No.
When anybody comes in with a bed and breakfast application, I know the maximum they can have is six, right?
Well, it's going to be whatever the building code permits. There's a limit on the number of persons that can, and it's by occupant load.
It's also going to be limited probably by the health code, depending on your septic.
Yeah, yes, there will be other limits on it.
Okay.
If you had, there are some houses here that have 18, 19 rooms.
Well, the Jared Cohn house was quite.
Well, there's the Sheridan house gone.
Yeah.
That's a big house that through there. I mean, there's maybe eight or nine bedrooms. Could you have eight or nine boarders in there for bed and breakfast? It's uncapped potentially.
Well, it's like I said, it's capped in the building code. Let me write that down and I'll find out exactly what it is. And then I think it's 16 persons, but
16.
Yeah.
So you're saying it doesn't matter?
And the occupant load is by area. So it wouldn't be by
square footage of dwelling.
Right.
Yeah.
I will find that out.
Will we have 16 people moving into a house in a residential neighborhood? Is it? Or would we limit that to three or four?
There's gonna be other limitations, so they're gonna have enough parking.
And the health regulations, I think, are going to speak to it loudly too.
Yeah, so that's what I asked, is that it's gonna depend on the building code and the health code, correct?
Okay. But if you had a big farm with a lot of rooms, you'd have plenty of parking.
We come from big families, probably in this day and age, our families would have been outlawed.
All right, moving on. Bakery with retail, oh, sorry, go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, I just have a question, just out of curiosity.
Yes.
For the bed and breakfast regulations you have in Bolton, does the owner of the B&B have to live in the house that the B&B is being operated in?
I believe that is part of the building code definition.
It's also part of the zoning regulation.
Okay, thanks.
So moving on, we've got bakery with retail. I don't know to me, this is a business zone. For some reason, it's not allowed in a general business yet. To me, it should be allowed at least in the general business, maybe the neighborhood business, the RMUZ and the GMUIZ. Maybe you want to put it in the business zones as either a site plan or even a administrative zoning permit. Is there any reason that you need to have public hearings and a special use permit or something like that?
No, I would put it AZ in those four locations.
All four?
Yes. Okay. And I suppose somewhere down the list you have food processing in the industrial zone.
There's no food processing unless it's part of something. There's no F in here. So let's see where we go with that. You have banks and financial institutions with a drive-through. I suppose you could say with or without a drive-through, but they are drive-throughs allowed. I would imagine most banks would have a drive-through.
Not that we're looking for
I'm gonna ask, if you don't mind, I'm gonna ask Mike if he could pipe in with any comments about things with drive-throughs, pharmacies with drive-throughs, restaurants with drive-throughs. What do you think about the commission's involvement in something like that?
I think that if the concern is related to drive-throughs, you can set it up so that the drive-through triggers a special permit. But I also think that, I mean, we could develop, and there are towns that I know of that have some pretty strong design criteria for the drive-throughs itself, so that they basically have to be a well-designed site that looks good and isn't gonna create all the issues that you really have concern over, so you could keep it site plan if you wanted to.
Well, maybe you could have two categories, banks and financial institution without a drive-through. That would be maybe a site plan or administrative zoning permit, because maybe treat a bank or a financial institution like a retail if it's in the business zone, and then if it has a drive-through, that triggers the commission's review.
The other thing that you could do is you could list a drive-through as an allowable accessory use by special permit. The only tricky part becomes, you know, what's built as a bank with a drive-through is the most likely, you know, second location of a Dunkin' Donuts or a fast food place. And so kind of one, I struggle with saying you can build this structure and use it as a bank, but if the bank isn't viable, you basically have to abandon the way the site was developed because you can't use it for the next logical use. And I don't know why a car is queuing in a space. Does it really matter if they're there to pick up their Friday paycheck or their evening coffee? But
I think maybe you would just put drive-through on its own line. And it might be for anything. And then that would require a special permit. I know that when the board started limiting things like fast food, the idea is we want people to slow down. We want them to get out of their cars. We want them to sit around at the bistro tables. And I think that was what the board had in mind. And people just want to pick up a coffee and pastry and go. So that's what businesses want to offer.
And you allowing the drive-through in any zone? I think we do now. Any business zone, excuse me, including neighborhood business.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would say yes.
Then what would you do without the drive-through? Administrative zoning permit?
Yes.
So something else I would just kind of throw in there. I went through the regs and I didn't see anything that said it, but it's possible that I missed it. One of the things that's always, I don't know, not in my mind totally necessary is to have a specific permitted use that is either never going to happen or we have one business that is the reason why it exists. One of the things that I think the commission could consider is some language which basically says that the commission has the authority to determine if similar uses are in alignment with the uses that are allowed in a specific zone and basically jive with the POCD, and that those uses would be by special permit. So if, for example, you didn't have hotel or motel and someone came in and made the case that they think it should be allowed in the GB because of X, Y, and Z, you could say, we think that's in line with the intent of the zone, the purpose of the zone, the POCD, and permit the use by special permit rather than saying, okay, let's create a category for this use and going through all this trouble. You have the right to interpret your regulations, and it allows you to not be boxed into trying to think of every use that may come before you and not requiring a text amendment for, you know, some of these one-off projects.
I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, makes sense.
The only concern I have, Mike, and let me just give you an example, would be currently we do not allow, because it's not listed, storage units. And I will tell you the amount of requests we get to put storage units in this town, we'd have them everywhere right now. And I know that's not what the, you know, there was a big hullabaloo over this and they took it out of the regs after the storage units were built on purpose for that reason. So if somebody came in and I don't know if there's something in here that they could say was like enough, you know, you'd still need the commission to make that judgment. And what does that do to the commission? You know, how does it set them up for failure, I guess, is what I'm wondering for something like that. I do like the idea you're talking about, but I do wonder when it's something that's controversial and the commission decides that it's not close enough.
I mean, I think that, yeah, ultimately they would come before the commission and say, we want to do self-storage and here's why. And if the commission doesn't want it, then they could basically say they don't feel like it meets the criteria in the zoning regs or in the POCD. Flip side to that is, if they make a really compelling argument for why it's supported in the POCD, then maybe, you know, we need to take a look at the POCD or look at the use. But I think that for the people that are going to pursue something no matter what, it doesn't really change the fact that it's in some way they're going to come before you, whether it be the special permit request, text amendment, what have you. But could it happen? Yes. But I think that there's also, you know, we could provide clarity in, you know, either purpose statements or in the prohibited uses or whatever, if there's certain things that we know are dead on arrival. This came up originally for me when, what's it called? Axe throwing. Right? The commission tried to say, what do we do about axe throwing? We're going to put a use in our regs that says we allow axe throwing in these zones. And do we really want to codify that in perpetuity? So we just had a bona fide discussion with the applicant. He explained the use. It was all very new. We looked at this, looked at that. And they said, you know what? Okay, it basically fits into this category. It's essentially the same thing. And I would add, our regulations here allow you to do that for parking, which is not exactly the same, but it sort of contemplates the same idea that the uses not listed or not necessarily specified can be similar to something that is.
Yeah, I was thinking for axe throwing, you would be, although I don't see it immediately here, I thought we had something that's talked about recreational.
Yeah, we do.
Items and to me that's where axe throwing would come in, but that's an interesting example. So do you think, Mike, we should continue to go through the list?
Yeah, I'm just saying, yeah, okay. If people have concerns about, ooh, I don't know if we want to get rid of that one line, if it's similar with stuff that's already there,
yeah,
we'd be covered if we included it. No, I don't think we should get rid of it.
Okay. All right. Well, then I will move on to beauty salon and barbershop, which are fine, special use permits. I don't know if you feel like, again, these are something that actually need a public hearing, or in the business zones, they should just be, you know, allowed as with a zoning permit, or?
Yeah, AZ, I think.
They do get public health review when they come through. Actually, most everything gets public health review.
It's residential. Aren't a lot of beauty parlors? Are they still allowed in houses? Excuse me.
I do not believe they are allowed as a home occupation, but I'm not. I'd have to go to their home occupation.
I know there's one.
I know there's one.
I know there's one.
I don't know there's if it's allowed by the regulations.
They just got it a couple of years ago. It might have been a variance. Yeah.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. Because I asked the neighbors and they said it was fine with them, so I don't think anybody complained.
Well, that's not the same.
Doesn't mean it's approved.
If you offer a variance and nobody complains, your chances of getting passed are a heck of a lot better than a bunch of people complaining, I can tell you that. But no.
Because yeah, low traffic also, supposedly.
Yeah, no traffic, yeah.
Well, I'm wondering if that should be a site plan. Because if you're dealing with chemicals, where are you going to store those chemicals properly? And that could be outside of just saying that, you know, the state or, you know, there's some licensing agency approves somebody, but once they have the license, if you're dealing with the actual chemicals to treat someone, you want to make sure those are stored properly and safely.
I think we have a general prohibition against outside storage of,
meaning inside the resident or the building itself.
And they can't be stored outside. You can put them in an approved shed or something, but you can't just expose them outside.
Right, right. I was referring to inside the building itself. Like, how are you securing those inside of your building? If you have a separate room.
Well, once again, that's going to be regulated either by the health code or the building code, depending on what the material is.
Okay, so the health code, you're saying the health code would address that?
Right.
Okay.
So you just want to go with the AZ then?
AZ, barbershops.
Yeah. In the business zones.
In the business zones.
Same with the business or professional use?
Yes.
I don't have a problem with either one of them. I don't know how the rest of the board feels.
The business or professional office use? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, I didn't know if it's gonna, you know.
I'd put them in AZ in all the four zones.
Yeah.
So the only thing I know, Quan had brought up that maybe if certain types of professional offices, if they have like X-ray equipment and stuff like that, right. he had a concern about that.
Well,
no, it's a good concern. Was that covered?
I think
covered under the health code too.
Yes. And
I liked all the ideas Quan had, but it was, a lot of them are going to be covered under the health code, anyways, right?
Yes, and I'm familiar with. Designing for radiology because I did quite a bit of it for UConn Health Center,
yeah.
Both at the health center and in satellite offices, and you end up using a lot of lead. and there's some, for instance, dental X-ray. You know, you protect it. You know, the person who's operating it stands up to now. They just stand outside the room, and the person. Who's the object of the radiation has a, you know, a lead apron on, right. and it's not a big public health thing.
Excuse me, if I can, yes. Go back to the beauty parlors.
Yes.
All these things are allowed in residential mixed use except for beauty parlors.
Rural
not, it's not currently, they're not, no.
I'm just talking about my understanding, not my,
oh, this is
right. of the way they should be or should not be. But sometimes you're restricting a use because it doesn't belong in that zone, it belongs in some other zone.
Right.
Like I think we have some, you know, warehouses and freight, you know, those belong in the industrial zone.
Okay.
And sometimes, you know, we don't permit, the reason we're not permitting multifamily in an industrial zone is because we want room for industries.
Yeah.
So it's how you put things in or out. And I don't think among those, and I think the rural mixed-use zone was emphasizing things like agriculture. And, okay. And so the reason you would put it in the other three and not there is because we have a different idea about what that zone's about.
Right. And I think there, I would suggest that once we're done with this, you kind of go back through, because some of you have the historical background of when the RMUZ and the GMUIZ were created and what the... what the philosophical differences were in those zones. And I know the gateway zone was one thing, and there are certain things you would like to have in your gateway and certain things you don't want in your gateway because it's the gateway to your community. So, you know, I just think at the end, when we're done, maybe we get the table in a certain position, then you want to just go back through and make sure that the things you are allowing in the RMUZ zone fit, like Tom just said.
Yeah.
For instance, we talked about bakery with retail. Well, we've got down somewhere down the list, we've got a retail shop. Why isn't you know, if you apply the idea that you can make a finding that this is a similar use, then I don't think we need specially a bakery line at all. And same thing with the candy manufacturing, wow, with retail sales. You know, that was created
for Munson's.
Because Munson's was there, and that's what they were doing. And whereas, you know, manufacturing of anything maybe belongs in the industrial zone. We're gonna have a limited in the industrial zones, because there's an I and the GMUIZ. So I think we're going in the right direction.
So I don't know if you want me to leave this note in here for the business and professional office, or what you want me to do with that.
I don't think so, because it's not, you know, there's a lot of concerns that we're going to have, but not all of them are appropriate to zoning, and they're going to be covered by something else.
Could there be any special, I mean, I can't think of an example off the top of my head where potentially a particular business is permitted and there's a public acceptable use code, but we could potentially benefit by having a special permit, a site plan. Just to provide a little bit better overall public health, or just public, you know, just to make sure we're not interfering with, you know, a public nuisance situation, whether it be, I know, equipment on one side of the building versus the other side, if it would serve a better purpose in a public, you know, convenience standpoint.
Well, I agree with you, and I think that's why I asked the question at the beginning about what the administrative zoning permit involved, and you know, Mike said, well, you know, we want enough of a site plan to be able to verify that it's compliant with the regulations, but you also might ask for an A2 survey if that was necessary. So I would. I think AZ is appropriate for that, and you can accomplish the same thing that's needed.
Same thing. Okay.
All right. I don't know what time you want to go till tonight, but we could do a few more of these at least.
We don't have to go to 9. Let's try for 8:30.
Let's say we get down to the bottom of the first page.
Okay.
And then we can get what we discussed that looks like we're gonna pass at the next meeting. And the last two pages don't look like they're gonna be as intense as this,
okay,
this group here.
Okay.
So, child and adult daycare, child daycare center, child family and group daycare center. I know there's very specific regulations for these, depending on the size and whatever, and I know they have changed recently. I don't know if I have this represented right. I don't know if we can combine the three.
If we're gonna put
a little bit about it in the office, but.
I don't see why, if we're gonna have special use permit for all of them, why we cannot combine them.
We'll change it, but I would think combine it. If for some reason we can't combine it, we could break them off.
Mike, was there a reason why child and adult daycare versus child daycare center? I mean, I guess you could put them all on one line, because then it might be child, family, and group daycare center.
Yeah, I mean, to me, when I see the word center, that tells me something like a Goddard school or a kinder care. It's a commercial building where people go during the day for care. Whereas when I think of just child and adult daycare, it doesn't need to be in a commercial building. To me, that's the only
That's the only difference without looking at, and I can pull up the definitions.
So we allow child, family, and group daycare centers as of right currently in the three residential zones.
Yeah, so our definition of daycare center is a use of land or buildings which offers or provides a program of supplementary care for compensation to more than 12. And so the more than 12 is what ticks them out of the as of right allowance based upon that new legislation. And then it lists a bunch of things that says what is not included. Seems like we've got more terms. We've got like five terms to describe two things.
Yeah.
Right.
Group homes, which are not listed here, I think are as of right. And I believe when it says group daycare center, I actually think that's what they're referring to. Those are as of right up to six adults in a home. I can't remember if there's a number on it.
Yeah, so we have, the regulation has the term group daycare home, but it doesn't have group daycare center. And it's a facility which offers or provides a program of supplementary care to not less than seven, nor more than 12. So okay. Again, it's the level of daycare that we can regulate, because that six is that number that makes it as of right.
Well, if you want to allow child and adult daycare everywhere by special permit and child daycare centers outside of the industrial zone and the residential zones, I think we could combine those two as just child and adult daycare and leave the word center off it. And there's its special use permit.
And yes, that's what I would do.
Okay.
The only other thing that I wanted to mention that, I don't know if Patrice talked about this earlier, but she had mentioned it yesterday, and it's worth considering or keeping in mind, is that even though I don't know if people at all feel like, you know, oh, the site plan, does that mean we lose some of the discretion and lose some of that control? But one of the things that you gain is that these uses don't become protected in perpetuity. Special permit runs with the land like a variance and is a right that cannot be extinguished. Whereas a site plan is not valid in perpetuity. And so these uses don't get to exist forever and ever. If you approve a site plan, the business comes and goes. You've got more control over the future use of that site because you haven't issued a special permit, which is filed on a land record. So there is a benefit to, and not quite as permanent as the special use permit.
I think that's a good idea.
So you want to leave it like this?
And change the SUP to SP.
You want them as site plans?
Yeah.
So we're combining child and adult daycare and child daycare and tit drop and center off?
Right.
Okay.
And it will be an SP?
Right, a site plan.
Now I'll take, I don't know what you want to do about the residential zones. I don't think you want, well, child and adult daycare as of right in the residential zones?
No, those are, they're much larger and they don't belong in the residential zones.
So you want these out of here?
Oh, no. The child, family, group daycare centers, those are going to be very small. It's the other ones that are going to be low. It's the upper line that's larger. The lower line is smaller.
Okay, so leave the lower line with as of right.
Yeah, I was thinking of going to AZ, but they're so heavily regulated by the Department of Public Health that somebody else is going to be inspecting them for the safety of the children and the fact that they have to have an outdoor play area and all that, all those right. regulations that go. And we don't have to look at that. As long as public health is satisfied, we should be.
Okay. Here's the other one that'll break your brain a little bit. Cinema with or without accessory tavern or restaurant, which is currently allowed special use permit in the GMUIZ zone only. Motion picture or live theater per AG, allowed by special permit in the general business zone only currently. Community theater and playhouse, special use permit in the GMUIZ zone.
I think combine them into one line and make site plan in both places.
Okay.
Both places or three places?
Well, we're going to come up, it's going to be just one line.
Oh, just one line, okay.
So it would be cinema, with or without accessory tavern or restaurant, slash.
Cinema or live theater, with or without accessory tavern or restaurant.
What's the difference between that motion picture?
There isn't. That's why we're going to get rid of those other ones.
Okay.
And you want me to stick community theater in there too?
Community theater is going to be under that. I don't see how we would differentiate.
Okay, so not even bother saying it.
No. People have tried all different kinds of combinations. Dinner theaters used to be a big thing. They were very popular, yep. And then they all disappeared. So, you know,
yep.
All depends what works in the market, and I don't think we should try to limit that too much.
All right. You wish to continue?
We're gonna go on with Tom Crockett's idea. We're gonna try to get to the bottom of the page.
All right.
And either the bottom of the page or 9 o'clock will occur first.
Yeah.
All right.
And then we'll maybe you can vote on what we got at the next meeting.
At the next meeting.
Yeah, just.
No, you can't vote on what you got. This is going to take a whole change to the regulation.
Yeah, and,
public hearing.
And,
I mean, we could just, let's open the furthest page would be water over the dam after we voted it. The vote, you know, it'll be over. And then
we'll
discuss it.
There's, I think there's things at the bottom of the list that we're going to have to reflect on.
Okay.
This says, I think this is commercial.
Yeah.
Stabling of horses.
What's this?
They're allowed by, that's a special use permit in the three residential zones.
Once again, if the special use permit follows the land forever, I think we should just do site plan. And I think we've also got an existing commercial stabling of horse in the neighborhood business zone.
Yes.
And I would just put SP there. And maybe in the RMUZ. Because it's rural.
There, you want SP here too?
Right. And neighborhood business because there's one already there.
Oh. And which other one? I'm sorry.
Neighborhood business.
Well, just because they're there doesn't.
I know, but it's worked.
Okay.
So if I think we just stay there.
Construction businesses, we only have those in the industrial zone by special use permit.
I think that could be a site plan.
How do you feel about that one, Mike? Construction business site plan or special permit in the industrial zone?
Have we lost Mike?
Mike's here. He's just... We'll come back.
So if we just have site plan and a construction business wants to sell to another construction business that we wish we had an SUP on, are we bound by the fact that we gave them the site plan to begin with?
No, they would just come in and continue operation under the site plan that's there. The key would be if they changed something else, then they wouldn't have it.
Oh, completely different.
If they, let's say they changed, it's a construction business. Okay, so you have some trucks and you have some...
You have a nice clean operation.
Some stockpiles, and then you move somebody else in that has 100-foot-high cranes and, you know, it's a different...
It becomes a pig pen.
Then it becomes, it's just a different kind of a use. And so the site plan would have whatever it's...
Yeah,
the restriction.
A nice clean business where trucks are pulled in all the time and this and that, and the yard is clean. Now you sell it and you have the construction business come in and they make a pig pen out of it, and you got oil leaks and everything else. Are we, what do you do then? Just hope for the health department?
No, it's...
Doesn't the special plan help?
The site plan would have its own restrictions.
Yeah, the other thing you need to do, you do need to keep in mind, even though we talked about running with the land and what have you, you can't really condition a site plan. I mean, you can sit and argue with them while you're looking at the site plan and ask for things and what have you, but you really can't condition the site plan on, you know,
okay,
certain things. So you got to be careful with that too.
All right.
Well, I know there's industrial condos where some of the people who are in there aren't real happy with the way, you know, some of the other owners of the condos are, and they leave their equipment out and this and that, and they don't pick up and so on and so forth. And, you know, it's not we're talking about industrial condos, but it's the same type of thing that you never thought this is what you're going to have. But it's not that big. If it's not that big a deal, that's fine with me.
To slightly piggyback off of that, I mean, I can kind of see, even though this industrial zone, wouldn't we potentially want public input?
Yeah, you might. I mean, there's going to have, there's going to be requirements about outdoor storage and all that are also in the regulations, whether, you know, that would be part of them providing that information in the site plan. Let's leave that one at special permit, since that's how it is right now, and it's limited in the industrial zone.
Okay.
And that would require the public hearing, right?
Right. It's something that should be, right? Construction business, that should be.
All right, continuing care, retirement communities, and homes. Currently special use permit in the residential area. And I don't know if you want to do the same thing in the GMUIZ.
Because we've got residential in there also, don't we? Multifamily, residential, multifamily as a use.
Yes.
Multiple?
I believe so.
Let's see, multiple dwelling.
Yeah, multi-family is allowed in the, well, the RMUZ zone, multi-family. Oh, that's mixed use, excuse me.
Multiple
dwelling complex is allowed in the GMUIZ. For seniors and for, well, no, excuse me.
No, it's we restrict it. You got to have 10% affordable dwellings, and it's got to be in the upper floors above first floor commercial use.
But multiple dwelling complex and multiple dwelling complex for seniors, which we just changed regulations for, are both allowed by special use permit in the R2 zone. not in the GMUIZ then. I just didn't know. It was just a suggestion. Okay. On the continuing care community.
Okay, well, I understand the reason. I mean, that's on the second page. We'll talk about that later.
Yep. You want to come back to this one?
Yeah, we'll come back to continuing care based on a larger discussion of multiple dwellings and so on.
Okay. All right, so you've got driving ranges and miniature golf courses.
Combined.
Separate kind of mini golf.
Combined.
So we're going to combine them, but just take this line out. So we're going to, right now, mini golf is only allowed in the RMUZ zone. Do you want to allow it in these three zones? And are we going to allow it by special permit? I mean, to me, it should be allowed at least in the general business zone.
I think put it in the general business and the GMUIZ, and we'll just say it's not appropriate for the rural mixed use zone.
You don't want the rural, okay. Mini golf is currently.
I know, I'm taking it
out.
Oh,
okay.
I'm not familiar enough. I know they always have a driving range near a golf course.
If they have,
I know they often have mini golf and a driving range next to each other, but you don't want all three in the same place?
We've got a golf course, you probably have to have 80 acres of land minimum to have a 9-hole course.
And that's rural.
But what if you've got chip and putt or something? It's not miniature golf. It's more like real golf.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that.
Well, there's different degrees on that too. I mean, play par 3 golf as opposed to chip.
So we're going to look.
I think move mini golf.
GMUIZ zone. And what other? Is that it? Those two?
Yes, I think just those two.
Okay. Drugstore, do we want to rename this pharmacy?
I think that's a good idea.
I mean, I don't know if there's a difference between the two, but okay. And right now we're allowed by special use permit in the GB, general business NB, and that's it. I don't know if you want to allow this in the GMUIZ zone as well.
I would put it in the GMUIZ as well.
Okay, and how do you want these? You want them by special use permit? Do you want them by site plan? You're all picking CVS in the back of your head.
Yeah, I have to think some more. I think what you've got there right now is good with the question marks, and because I have to think about the not being able to condition a site plan. I have to think about that.
So you want, actually I should just do this as a.
I'm conflicted. I have a desire to put on conditions and not have a public hearing. That's my conflict is.
We've got duplex dwellings, which are administrative zoning permits in the residential zones.
I would add triplex and fourplex.
Aren't those multifamily then, which is down on the next page?
Well, yes, but I would make it multiple family more than
less than 5 units.
Right. More 5 units or more than 4 units would be multifamily.
Yeah. You're right, Patrice, but there's a lot of the 1 to 4, 2, 3, and 4 families are classified different than 5 and above.
Okay.
A lot of cases, so.
So what do you want this to be?
duplex, triplex, and fourplex. Right.
See, well, this is a way to try to. Yes, Quan?
I was going to say, couldn't it be stated as non-commercial multifamily dwelling?
Mm. Well, it's all going to be commercial one way.
Yeah, they're collecting rents.
Well, kind of business, yeah. I thought it was five or more was considered commercial.
In a lot of cases, it's considered a different class of housing than the 2, 3, and 4 family. I mean, a lot of the state laws kick in at 5 families now. And
right.
A lot of the government loans are.
In the building code, it's 1 and 2 family, and there's a whole 1 and 2 family in townhouses, and that's the International Residential Code. It's a whole separate code. And then there's the building code, which is 3 or more.
That's also the fire code, right?
Mm-hmm.
Fire code, the fire marshal gets to go in with 3 or more, right? Once a year.
And the fire code and the building code, the International Fire Code and the International Building Code are the same with respect to the uses.
Okay.
So it would be considered commercial construction if it was built under the building code.
So we're still just allowing them in the 3 residential zones, right?
We can put height restrictions in our zoning regulations. There are other height restrictions that are in the building code, but there are. I wouldn't rely on those for zoning. And the reason that I want to include these is that's part of this part of the goal. This goal to increase the variety and availability of residences.
Okay.
And by doing it, yeah, you know, because this is all going to go to a public hearing, and I am sure that this is going to get comment.
Probably.
Yeah. But I want it out there. That's my idea.
Something else that I think is worth considering, as much as I don't want to slow up our quest for the bottom of the page, something that you could do if there's concern or an uncomfortableness about flipping certain uses from site plan to special permit or back and forth, is you can establish like a threshold. There's another town that I work in that for like construction business, what they would call that is a contractor's yard. If the contractor's yard has more than a certain square footage of outdoor storage, it requires a special permit. And the regs require that all storage be behind the building. But if they want to have, I think it's 2,000 square feet or more of outdoor storage, it requires a special permit. So you could break this up into categories, and you can say construction business in excess of this square footage or whatever, to keep that small scale operation from needing to do all that work if you think there's cases where it wouldn't need the full blown special permit.
Thank you.
Farm stands.
Oh dear.
They've got farm stands as an accessory to a farm. Site plan in the GB zone, site plan in the NB zone. That's it. Then you've got farmers markets or of temporary or mobile construction. Site plan, same, GB and NB. Then you've got farming, but not a farm stand as an accessory. Those are as of right in the, I would think they're as of right in any zone, but this is as of right in 3 residential zones. I don't know what you want to do here.
I would have farming as a line item like it is now.
Okay.
For farm stands,
I would, in the three residential zones, I would put AZ, AZ, AZ as a, in other words, you can have the farm, but if you want to have a farm stand, you have to have zoning, administrative zoning permit. What was that whole thing that we went through before with defining what a farm stand is? I mean, is a kid out there with a pile of tomatoes a farm stand, or does it have to be a much bigger concern? Wasn't that something we straightened out before, long ago?
Well, it's defined.
Okay.
So we're saying that whatever is defined.
So farm stands as an accessory to farm, AZ, 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 and then as of the farming is as of right, the stand is by an administrative zoning permit.
Right, and I would not put the farm stands in the GMUIZ. I would put them in the RMUIZ, but not the GM, RMUZ, but not the GMUIZ.
Okay.
Not in the gateway zone.
So leave it here as an administrative zoning permit?
Yes.
Okay, it's accessory to a farm, so I have to put as of right down here? Can't have a farm stand unless you have a farm. The idea behind the farm stand is you're selling stuff that you're growing on the property.
Yes, and that's part of what's happening in the rural mixed use zone. You would have a farm.
So you want me to put AOR down here?
Farming is AOR, yes.
Okay.
And we should look at what the statutes say about farming generally.
Okay. And what do you want to do about farm stands in the general business or the NB?
AZ, AZ. I think that's okay.
And then how about this other farmers markets? I think this is or temporary mobile construction. The two don't seem to match, but this must be what's in the reg right now. Basically allowing a farmer's market by site plan in the general business zone or the NB zone. Temporary mobile construction, is that like a temporary or mobile construction trailer? I'm not really sure what
or
that.
Or a food truck kind of
yeah.
thing?
It's like a farmer's market?
Yeah, we had one come in and it was approved for like one season and then we disapproved them and they went over to Coventry.
All right,
well I'd like to think about that one some more. That's a whole
It's 855.
This whole temporary sales thing, whether it be flea market, tax sale, whatever it is, needs to be simplified if you could.
Okay.
It's 855. You want to adjourn? Take a break?
I think we can do one more thing. I think we can put finance, insurance, and real estate up with banks and financial institutions and make it all online.
Okay, so banks, so and allow it in the same categories
yep.
as?
Yep.
All right.
Right.
Yep.
Here, right?
Right.
So we're going to put it's not working the way I wanted to. Hang on a second. Sorry. All right, here we go. Institution. And then just eliminate this.
Right.
Right. There you go.
Is there any other comment for this evening?
Time to go recharge the brains.
Okay, so you're going to send this out as modified.
I can do that, yep.
Okay, please do that. And Jim Cropley isn't here, so I'm looking to Tom Crockett.
I make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
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 And Arlene raises her hand. Motion is unanimous at 8:56 p.m.
All right.
Thank you very much. That was good. A good.
Anything extra there? Just any paper, extra paperwork, just put over in my area there. On the chair, on the desk is fine.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you all.
Have a good night.
Good night. And the Mannings will have a lot to talk.